Blog Talk Radio.
Here we are live from Myrtle Beach, Greenville, South Carolina, and Des Moines. This is the Charlotte Line. I hope everyone is doing well tonight. I know I am. This is Dr. John Stamey live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, where it is beautiful and sunny. We couldn't have any better weather than we've got, so it's great to be here and great here to be with my buddies. From Studio G in Greenville, South Carolina, the one and only Zach Beechler. How are you doing tonight?
I am without pants, but I'm excited.
Okay. Well, while I hear Walmart's having a sale, so, you know, just check it out when the show's over. Whoa, that's right. Anyway, glad you're here. And from Des Moines, Iowa, from the world capital of excitement, it is Brady Van Sickle. How are you doing, Brady, tonight?
Oh, hanging in there today. It's been pretty decent weather up here in Iowa, so not a whole lot to complain about.
That's good, boy.
It's
been an amazingly busy week in NASCAR, hasn't it?
It has. We've had the All-Star race, we had Texas race, and we had a driver who doesn't deserve to be in the Cup Series do something stupid yet again this year. And the best place to start is this past Wednesday, right after we got off the air, they started racing. The NASCAR All-Star Race was held for the second time ever away from the Charlotte Motor Speedway at Bristol, Tennessee. There was two races, the All-Star Open and the All-Star Race itself. And Brady, after watching both those races, it was kind of weird not seeing the All-Star Race being called or being recorded at Charlotte. You know, neither me or you have seen an All-Star race. The first time an All-Star race wasn't held at Charlotte, which is Atlanta in the late 80s. I kind of enjoyed it, but it felt like it was a little lackluster at the same time.
You know, honestly, for Bristol standards and the fact that it was a no-holds-barred event, I'm honestly shocked it was as tame as it was. I was really expecting, you know, an all-out, almost demolition derby-esque style race, but that really wasn't the case. We saw a couple incidents, you know, in the All-Star Open, a pretty significant incident, which I'll be interested to get your opinion on. Overall, no, it was a very, very tame All-Star event and kind of left me puzzled a little bit. Though, I got to say, the biggest headline coming out of this race was obviously how different the cars looked. I mean, not only did they add butt glow to underneath the rear bumper, but they also redid the paint scheme. And I think I can say with utmost certainty, the butt glow is super stupid, but I fucking love it. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen, but it made me smile the entire race. But I hated the paint scheme layouts. I will really be pissed if that's what they decide to go through in the future, because they just looked awful. And for a lot of those cars, I really couldn't even pick out the number half the time, and I know the entire field. So I was not a fan of the new paint scheme, but the butt glow, I did enjoy that. That was interesting.
The butt glow. So what Brady is talking about, NASCAR did a few experimental things. The other one we'll need to talk about is the choose cone. But you're correct. Seeing those paint schemes like this, the numbers a little smaller, move closer to the rear tire with the bigger logos on the driver door and the passenger door. I kind of like, there were some good ones. There were some that were a little tacky. The ones that I liked more, the most, I can't remember which ones about looking at them, but there were ones that only had the one logo. They weren't, like Corey LaJoie, for example, had a few different logos on his, which I understand it's sponsoring, sponsor obligation, but some, like, I think Jimmy Johnson's Ally one was really cool looking because it only had Ally. You know, if it was the one logo, it looked really good. I liked it. But if it had multiple, it was just like, it reminded me of Chick Hicks from Cars. And it didn't look the best. It looked good, but the underglow was interesting. So when they announced the underglow, people were expecting stuff like from the Nashville banquet when the cars did burnouts on the streets. thinking that it was going to be lined all the way up and down the car. The big reason why it wasn't, after talking to some people, NASCAR was scared that the electrics would mess with the motor or with the ECU. That's why you only saw at the rear, and they were worried if there was a crash, something might happen. So the underglow under the butt looked cool. There was someone else who said, I wish they would let the teams do an underglow that would match the paint scheme better instead of signifying the manufacturer. For instance, Bubba Wallace's 43 would look so much better with a blue neon that matched the color of the paint scheme than the blue that they ran for the Chevy manufacturer. So I like some of the paint schemes. The underglow was interesting, cool idea, but something to change it up next time. Maybe let the teams work with the underglow to be better with the paint scheme, because honestly, Kurt Busch's black and green car with a blue underglow just didn't click with me.
Actually, Ford's had the blue underglow. Chevy's had more of like an amber, kind of orangish gold kind of underglow.
That's right. It's just kind of weird.
And honestly, the Chevys reminded me a lot of Fireflies, just because they had that same almost kind of yellowish glow that Fireflies do. And so, I mean, maybe that was why I was entertained. Who knows? But it's dumb. I really kind of hope they bring it back, though. But as far as the big-ass sponsor logo down the door, god damn, was that an eyesore. And so many drivers and teams, like, they had so much going on. I felt like the drivers and teams that had very simple paint schemes, very simple designs, they accentuated the sponsor decal the best, and it looked pretty okay. Like, for example, the Penske cars, where they had their very – very clean lines. They kind of boxed the logo in on the door. Those looked great, but there were some of them, it was just super hard to look at. So I hope they don't go that direction, but honestly, I know that money talks and bullshit walks, especially when it comes to motorsports. So I'm fully expecting that to be some sort of iteration we see on the next gen car, whether I like it or not. I mean, because they're not going to listen to my opinion. I'm not writing the damn checks, so it's one of them deals.
But going to the racing action, if you look throughout the All-Star race and the actual All-Star Open, there was only two cars that did not finish all – well, three cars technically did not finish the entire event. There was the two winners of stages, so Eric Allmore and William Byron – advanced without having to worry about anything, but there was two that actually exited the race. Well, exited, quote unquote, Bubba Wallace and Joey Gase. Joey Gase had handling. Bubba Wallace had a bit of a bigger issue than that.
Yeah, a little bit bigger of an issue. I think we're kind of dancing around the fact that he kind of got taken out. Intentional or not, that's not up for me to say, but he was definitely taken out by Mr. Michael McDowell. And, it kind of, I think, speaks to the time we're in and just kind of how contested the political issues around us have kind of gotten, because he was not well received by the fans, according to many eyewitness accounts, including a couple people I knew that went to the track. Even though he was kind of an innocent bystander in that and got taken out, he was definitely not a darling with the fans, been very outspoken these last few weeks and inspiring a lot of people, but unfortunately not a lot of people that were in the in attendance for the Bristol race that night.
Yeah. The wreck itself, there's a lot of views on it. Now, me, I know I might sound a little biased because I am a huge Michael McDowell fan. I've said it numerous times, not just on podcasts, but on Facebook. It looked like a racing incident, but I did see where Michael was used. I would say it like this. Michael wasn't trying to wreck Bubba. I know I've seen Michael. He's not that kind of guy. But he drove a little too hard, and it just gave Bubba a little too much and caused him to wreck, unfortunately, and be out for the All-Star Open.
And he had such a great car, too. Bristol was a track that was very rewarding to the Petty camp when we were there just a few weeks ago, and been one of his stronger tracks on the circuit. And he definitely had a lot of momentum heading into that event and was one of the odds-on favorites. It looked like he might be able to race his way in, if not get the fan vote, but unfortunately was not meant to be. He maintained a positive attitude. It was kind of funny, and honestly turned out, ended up being a pretty positive storyline that came out of that whole incident. But after this race, you know, his car crumpled up. They're in the garage area. They're getting the 43 car ready to load up to head home. And the front bumper was just completely trashed. So Bubba took the broken bumper off the car and made a little deposit at the rear of the hauler for Michael McDowell, the 34 team, just left it there on their drop gate. And so in a kind of a humorous, you know, making light of the situation, Front Row Motorsports decided to auction that bumper off for charity. And it was a really good move by them. Bubba thought it was a cool move too, because anytime you can make lemonade out of a lemon situation kind of deal, that's really all we can hope for. But to me, I was definitely disappointed. I really wish I could have seen him, you know, maybe kind of dice it up there. And I thought it was a little too early for that kind of racing. But like you said, it's one of them deals. Bristol, definitely that kind of track that lends itself to that. It's just one of them deals.
It is. So if you haven't heard, with that bumper, Front Row Motorsports actually took it back, which was really funny to me to see that the organization actually took it back to the shop. Michael McDowell signed it, and they put it up on eBay for the MRO. So if you don't know, MRO is the Motor Reaching Outreach. It is essentially church at the track. A lot of these guys that go to the tracks, they're gone all weekend. They don't have a proper church service, or they don't have a proper pastor. They get to see that often. So MRO is a traveling missionary that goes not just to each track, but to all the NASCAR events up and down, whether it's a one-off event at Iowa or tracks or going to Canada, such as that. So it's really cool to see that it's going to such a good Monday at Speed and Race is going to such a great place that I support myself. But it's been I'm trying to find the eBay listing, and it was at, last time I checked, $15,000.
Which is a pretty hefty chunk of change for a pretty mangled-up bumper, which you've got a couple bumpers yourself that probably were in a similar condition, I got to say.
Just a little bit. But it is a great thing, Bubba. The only issue I took with what happened, Bubba called him saying he's a joke, called Michael McDowell a joke. It kind of irked me a little bit. You know, it's just like, well, Michael's actually, you know, worked his way up. He's gone from start parks to, even though Front Row Motorsports isn't the best team in the world, they're getting so much better, and they have two amazing drivers, John Hunter Nemechek, who keeps impressing the crap out of everyone, and Michael McDowell, who's gone and, you know, really improved himself and the team over the years. So a little bit of an irk there, but that's just me personally being a Michael McDowell fan, being such a big Michael McDowell fan. But the All-Star Open, kind of not a snooze fest. There was, you know, good passing, a lot of like, oh, what are they going to do, this and that. But from that, we had four drivers who moved on to the All-Star race. We had Clint Bowyer, who got the fan vote, Matty D, who raced his way in on the last stage, William Byron, and Eric Almirola, who all four of them transferred into the All-Star Open, the 20-car field. And, man, one interesting thing, every single car finished on the lead lap. No wrecks, a little bit of rubbing, a little bit of bumping, but no, you know, everyone was on the lead lap at the end of the night.
Yeah, no, every major incident we saw in the race was for a harmless one or two car spin, but no major carnage. Like you said, everyone was able to continue on, and that's just not what I was expecting at all. I don't think anyone was expecting that. We only had two cautions outside the stage-ending cautions, and a pretty convincing win by Chase Elliott. Elliott joined his father as the only two drivers in history to win an All-Star race that did not take place in Charlotte. Big Daddy Bill, he won his at Atlanta back in 1986. So kind of a neat, unique little thing that both father and son were able to now lay claim to. But, you know,
gentlemen, I'm going to have to let you know that it looks like we're going to be restarting here. And don't know what happened here to dear old Blog Talk Radio. So
Hold on.
We'll be back in about 2 minutes. So I'll call you and we'll all restart. So have a good one and we'll be back in about 2 minutes. Thank you. Oh my goodness.